Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm the host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs, regardless of age or circumstance. I am so lucky that I get to do this show. I get to meet the most amazing people and learn how they set out to live their lives in ways that they love. And my guests today are another striking example of not settling for run-of-the-mill, not putting their lives on hold, and not being afraid to ask for what they want to do. My guests today are John Fitzgerald and Sierra Sternfeld. They both work for John Hancock Retirement remotely, as in they have been traveling for the past 4 years while successfully employed in a corporate career. They are doing it their way, and they are loving their lives while doing so. We're going to go to break, and when we return, John and Sierra will join us to share how they are making their corporate careers, as well as pet sitting and exploring work that they get to do while they're on the road. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. My guests today are John Fitzgerald and Sierra Sternfeld, and they are both employees with John Hancock Retirement, and they are both part-time pet sitters and full-time explorers while traveling for the past 4 years. I absolutely love this. I had the pleasure of meeting John and Sierra because they rented my home in Sandpoint, and they were, I think they were at my home for about 6 weeks. And it wasn't until they were leaving that I got to know a little bit more about what they were doing and why they were staying at my home and what adventures they have on had on their horizon. So as soon as I heard that, I absolutely had to have them on the show. So welcome, you guys. It's so nice to have you. Thanks for taking time out from your all your busy work lives and play lives to share how you got to do what you're doing and how you can inspire others to do the same.
Thank you, Lissa, and thank you so much for having us. I'll preface by saying if anybody's looking for probably the best Airbnb you could find in the Sandpoint area, this is who you're going to want to talk to. It was a great 6 weeks, and we're grateful for it, and glad we got a chance to connect with you and talk a little bit more about our lives. So we're happy to be here.
Oh, great. Well, I really wish we could have had an opportunity sooner, but I think it's just inspiration for you guys to come back sooner than later.
I think so too.
Great. So anyway, I'm fascinated by your story because over the 30 years that I've been doing career development, I have had so many people in corporate careers that I could not find the balance and found a whole lot of struggle with trying to be able to meet the bottom line for whatever it is that their corporate jobs were asking of them and trying to balance and have some fun in life during some precious years. And so I just, from the little I know about how all of this has played out for you guys, I think that you guys have got a great story to tell just by the fact that you were doing it.
Yeah, I would say so. Sierra, you know, it's been a blessing.
Takes a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work, plan, but it's all worth it in the end. You know, we just really have each other, and what we thought would be a few month journey is now turned into 4 years as of June 3rd, 2025. And I think Sierra and I have always had, there's one host we had up in the UP, up in Michigan, they call it. And she let us know we had this wonderful zest for life, and we've never heard that before. And weren't exactly sure what it meant. and after, you know, doing some research and all that, it kind of felt very fitting. And, you know, Sierra and I met through work about 7 years ago. we're doing the corporate life, you know, the 9-to-5,
mm-hmm.
subway to Boston, you know, big city life, expensive, you know, working long hours, trying to work our way up the corporate ladder. And what started as weekend trips, you know, regionally around New England, we're based out of Boston. So we'd go up to New Hampshire, Maine, down to Rhode Island, just to take advantage of long weekends and, you know, get back for the office on Monday.
Right.
And then COVID came around in March 2020. They told us, you know, hey guys, bring your laptops home, right?
We were so mad that they told us to take our laptops home. We don't know when you're going to be returning. We're like, this is so unfair.
Little did we know.
We loved our colleagues working in the city. You know, just we were excited. We're in our early 20s, looking forward to, you know, starting our own lives. And weren't fans of the idea of work from home at first.
Yeah.
And, you know, quickly, you know, we got an apartment in Boston. Not too long after that, stayed in that apartment for like 8 or 9 months. And our lease was up and, you know, it was still COVID times and probably in June 2021. And we started looking at places in Boston, obviously very expensive.
And nothing was working out in Boston, like whether the timing of the place or the price of the place, things were just not working out for us. And we were like, we don't even maybe want to be here.
Well, yeah,
that's so really interesting. So that I was going to ask you guys, what stimulated the idea to I'm guessing here, but to kind of give up a home base and just call the road your home base?
So it took a lot of time and thought put into making the decision to actually get up and go. We have my amazing family just outside of Boston in this town called Dedham. My grandmother there, Sierra, has relatives in and around Boston in New Jersey. So, you know, I love that city. That city is where I grew up, where my father, my parents grew up. And it just got to a point where we were in a kind of advantageous situation, right? Where we're working remote. Our lease ended.
We don't know for how long we'll be remote.
It was indefinite. Now, there was always talks about, 6 months, you guys will be coming back, this, and the other thing. And, you know, uncertainty, rightfully so, with these major companies in terms of going back to normalcy. And so we checked with our bosses and said, hey, you know, do we have to be living here if we're not going to be back in the office anytime soon? And they said, no, you know, you just need a reliable internet connection. You need your VPN and you need to be able to perform, you know, that 9-to-5, that 8-9 hours a day. So we said, okay, great. We're going to start this trip going down to Naples, Florida for a month. And then we're going to spend a month. Yep. Typical Boston snowbird destination.
Yes, I was going to say.
And we loved it. It was so great. So we spent about a month there. Then we spent a month or so in Jacksonville, Atlantic Beach with Sierra's family, which was really great. And then we're going to go to Austin, Texas for a few months. And that's really all we had planned. It was going to be about 3 or 4 months. And then we're like, you know, we didn't really have a plan or really didn't think about what we're going to do after that, right?
No, absolutely not. And actually the first day that we left Boston, we left at 2 or 3 in the morning so we could avoid the New York traffic would pass.
Wow.
First, we did it at like 5 or 6 a.m.
Yep.
And our first stop was in Philadelphia for a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah, I love this. I never had one, but she knew she had to get me one.
At 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
8 a.m. Philly cheesesteak. There's
great.
Two places that are open 24 hours, Pat's and Gino's. Anyone who's from Philly will be telling you there's somewhere else to go, okay?
Oh.
I don't think there's anywhere to go at 8 a.m., so we...
It worked. Yeah. We made it work.
Well, that's all of part of the adventure and the freedom. I mean, that's what I think is so appealing. It's like, hey, we're going to be in Philly. What can we do that's going to kind of give us an opportunity to sample it and experience it? That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, it was a great way to start the trip. to say the least.
And stomach's probably hurt all day, but worth the laugh.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it just, it, like you said, just, you know, if we're passing through somewhere, we really want to make the most of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, indulge in that community, you know, see what we can see. We love this country. We're proud Americans, and this is, you know, the best place to do a road trip, we think, in our mind. And, you know, it just started as something so small and that we really only thought was going to be for a few months. And then when we were in the middle of Austin, Texas, in September, 4 months after we left.
Why wouldn't we go to Arizona right there?
Right.
We're this close.
Exactly. So we made it happen. And from there, you know, it we started getting into a little bit of a rhythm.
Then it was ski season, so seek out all the mountains nearby.
Oh, gosh. Yep. That is so. And but now you guys didn't have any gear or you. So explain to us a little bit about what did you have with you when you left Boston and just hit the road?
So a common question we get asked, they're like, so are you guys in a van or an RV?
And I saw your vehicle. You're not.
We're not. Believe it or not, Lisa, that's our second vehicle on the road. We started out in a Toyota Corolla.
Oh, that my gosh.
No, cannot see anywhere, you know, any window.
Mostly just clothes. You know, obviously our
the
work devices. Yep, you know, just some of that stuff.
The necessities.
But it really is just clothes. And
rollerblades, you know, basketball.
Yes.
Activity stuff, I guess.
And we wish it was less, but somehow there's stuff.
Yeah.
We just have accumulated stuff, as you do.
And so did you just accumulate as you went? I mean, because you didn't know how long you were going to be going. You didn't know you were going to end up in Arizona, and you didn't know you were going to be skiing. So did you just, like, buy things along the way and then discard them as you went because you didn't have room? Or, I mean, that's kind of a fun part of the story, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sierra's grandmother said it best, like, the less you have, the more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The less you have, the more free you are, in a sense.
Yes.
You know, so we're constantly, like, filtering out clothes. We love a Goodwill. We have we'll put together trash bags to bring by, you know, donation centers and stuff, because we're getting, you know, new clothes as we grow in and out of them. And we like getting, you know, T-shirts and sweatshirts with places that we love name on it. You know, we don't like the big brands and all that stuff. We'd rather just a T-shirt with, you know, Coeur d'Alene on it or Ponderé on it, something like that. So when we realized we were going up to the mountains and really going to get into ski season, you know, we found out that a front wheel drive or two wheel drive vehicle may not be the best fit.
Right.
And there were a few times we couldn't make it up the mountain. We're in Boulder, Colorado, going up to ski Eldora. Took the day off of work to go ski. It was right around Christmas, and lo and behold, we you know, we're spinning out halfway up the mountain. We had to turn around and go. So got new tires, learned that wasn't going to do the trick, and ended up trading it in for a RAV4, which is a little bit more spacious. Over the time, we ended up getting a Thule roof box that we could have extra storage in. And you know, we used to always rent skis. We used to do seasonal rentals because we're like, we can't lug these around all year. We have nowhere to put them. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was the year that we decided to get skis, and we're going to make it a point to make room for them because you know, we want to prioritize what was important for us.
And do we keep the skis in the Thule? No, because once we got the Thule, that is now camping. All things camping.
Right, right.
We got the tent. We got the
sleeping bags, all the gear.
Yep.
You know, make it work. Well, can't wait to hear more about this adventure and how you guys all, like, just spontaneously pulled it together. But we need to go to break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks, to do work, and to live lives they genuinely love. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I am a certified career and life coach. My guests today are John Fitzgerald and Sierra Sternfeld, and they are both employees with John Hancock Retirement, and they have been on the road for the last 4 years just living life, exploring, and pet sitting, and getting an opportunity to see and do things that they wouldn't be able to do if they were sitting in their corporate offices. So there's one good thing that came out of COVID, I would say. Anyways, So you guys just learned to kind of give and take with whatever equipment, clothing that you got, and then you're obviously traveling between seasons and things like that. So that probably became something that you had to kind of do on a regular basis.
Yeah, it definitely did. We find ourselves more attracted to mountains. So like in the winter, we're kind of following the ski mountains. Whatever pass we got for that year, we'll try and hit as many mountains as we possibly can. Then once spring, summer rolls around, where we're looking for, you know, more national parks, and we love to hike and we love to camp overnight. So, spending time kind of planning out what we want to do for each season has helped us be successful.
And we're usually in the, like a small bag or something like that. If we're going to be under a month, we'll have a bag packed. We have our big luggage that we won't even look at unless we're at a month day or so.
Right.
And on those month days, we try to go through clothes and donate, because we do just keep accumulating. And you would think we would be pros and live very simply, but we still have a lot of clothes, and I'm still every day trying to get rid of so I can be more free.
So what is your strategy? So do you guys book out like a month in advance, 6 months in advance? What is your strategy right now as far as where you're going to stay? Do you just lean on camping if you don't have an Airbnb? And I did see the pet sitting thing, so I'm wondering if that is like through house sitters or home sitters. So tell us a little bit about that strategy and how you make that work.
So honestly, Lisa, I probably spend, a good, I'd say 4 or 5 hours a week just looking at Apple Maps and mapping out the world where we're at, what's surrounding us. So we don't book too far in advance. It's usually where we're pretty satisfied. And I think really on top of it, if we're planned out for the next 2 or 3 months, we may have an idea of where we'd like to go and where we'd like to explore, but actually booking somewhere. It's kind of worked to our advantage in a lot of situations, because you learn these tips and tricks while being on the road for so long. For example, like you're an Airbnb host, so you kind of understand how the business works. And from a guest perspective, if we don't book a place months in advance, and we need a place to stay, this coming weekend. It's Tuesday. We need a place to stay this weekend for the next week or two, maybe even month. And your calendar's open. We'll message these hosts and tell a little bit about our story. Be like, hey, I noticed your place isn't booked. Is there any way you can work with us on the price if we book an extended stay? We're flexible with how long we can stay. If there's any wiggle room on the pricing, we'd love to. And, gratefully, we've met a lot of really great hosts who
appreciate the story and the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And
they want their place booked, too.
They want their place booked. And we are always looking for those houses that are paid off, of course. Not hoping that people are just having this property they need the income. So finding the ones that are willing to work with us.
It's also worth it to not have people coming and going, which to know that the same people are going to be there is it is very peaceful. Just like, okay, I know who's going to be there, and hopefully, you know, you get a chance to establish a little bit of rapport. And so I think that that's a win-win. So the very smart part of your strategy, I would say.
Yeah, it can be stressful. Like,
yeah,
there's been where we don't know where we're staying, you know, in a few nights.
Somehow we've never stayed in the car, which is very impressive. Like, I don't even know how many hundreds of days we've been on the road. We have not once slept in the car, and that is all thanks to Fitz. He's very, very on top of it. I don't know where I would be without him right now. But when he is looking at the Apple Maps and starting to look into the towns, is this a cool place? Are we going to have fun here? Is there a good grocery store for Sierra, because she's very particular.
Grocery store, gym.
we pull up Trusted House Sitter before Airbnb just to check, just to make sure we can help someone out first.
Awesome. Okay, so then that is such a good point about knowing where there's a good grocery store or good restaurants. I mean, sometimes what resource do you rely upon that you have found to be true to what is written in any kind of a description? Because I know that sometimes ratings can be a little bit deceiving. So there's all sorts of, and not like it's the end of the world, but do you find that there is a resource that you lean on a little bit more to kind of guide your decision-making on where you're going to go and why?
But it's a lot of just, you know, I think we have an idea in mind of where we want to be that kind of trumps all other details about that location.
Okay.
Like, where, if we know we want to be somewhere and it's pretty remote and in the middle of nowhere, you know, the grocery stores, the gyms, those are important to us to keep some level of routine and consistency in our life, like
right.
with our working out and our diet. But, at the end of the day, we find ways to make it work if they don't have all those resources.
Right.
So, you know, if we're in the middle of Packwood, Washington, which is, you know, just outside of Mount Rainier National Park, they got one grocery store that's more like a gas station grocery store. You know, we'll make it work. They don't have a gym. We'll go on runs. We'll go on walks, hikes daily. You know, I think going into it with an open mind and just being okay with and knowing, you know, we may be a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's really a mindset thing. And we've constantly worked on overcoming that and just being happy where we're at.
Getting out of our comfort zone completely, just making it work, adapting, and still pushing ourselves to, like, we don't want to run outside when it's so hot out. You know, I'd rather be in the gym maybe, but there we go. We're sweating more. It's taking more energy, so it's just finding a happy medium or just rolling with the punches. Like, we're just, this is where we're going to be.
Yeah.
We're going to make it work.
And
I'm
sure you've stumbled upon a lot of fabulous surprises that were way better than you could have expected to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Standpoint was one of them. Schweitzer was, you know, and we knew we loved Coeur d'Alene, but we didn't know, like, you know, we run into places like Sandpoint all the time where we don't know anything about this town or small city. And, you know, we go there, we might book a week or two, and then it's like, you know, let's stay longer because we love it here. We love having that flexibility.
Just places that just make you feel so light and like, wow, I can just stop and take a breath. Like, life is good. Life doesn't have to always be moving so fast, just like we found in Sandpoint. It's chill. There's no traffic.
That was one of our longer stays, Lissa, believe it. So we got to bring in the big suitcases, go through some gear, and it was just so comfortable being able to do that because we don't do it all the time. We get those one-month-plus stays maybe, you know, twice, three times a year if we're lucky. A lot of it is just a week or two or, you know, long weekend camping trips, but
like, what's upcoming? What's our turnaround time per place?
Oh, like, you know, your place, that last month in Sandpoint, that was our last month stay until maybe like September.
Oh, wow!
Like 8 days. It's about to be hustle and get up and go.
Not everything's booked yet, but we got like a little plan kind of idea mapped out. So we're excited to see it come to fruition.
Well, yeah, and I would imagine summer probably gets to be a little bit trickier too, because everybody seems to go on the road then, or, you know, it's a little bit more traditional with kids out of school and everything. So, but
high demand.
I think you just, like you said, you probably just hit some smaller towns where it's not quite so, you know, such a draw, and maybe you can find a little solitude or, you know, a little room to breathe because everybody isn't there at that time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, you know, like to your point, people traveling, wanting to go on vacation, do stuff, that opens up dog sets. And
that is, I think, how we got comfortable on the road. It was during a time where everyone was staying at home. We had open roads, open towns. No one was going anywhere. So that's where we, I think, just got so comfortable with being in the car and doing all these random things to, like, sustain life from our car, pretty much.
Right.
So I know that I was one of the people that was out there on the road during COVID, just because I thought, what the heck, let's just go see what's going on out there. And I was floored at how many trucks were pulling these huge RVs. And I thought, you know, it just seemed like everybody was out on the road. And do you still see that now as much, or is it a little bit less likely to encounter people all the time, all over the place, pulling their RVs?
I think, you know, we still definitely see it, because we love being in those locations where they're at. You know, they're mm-hmm. in the Utahs, Colorado, Montana, Wyoming. You know, they're campers. A lot of retired folks are doing this kind of lifestyle, and
we're always looking at them like, how are we going to have that one day? Mm-hmm. Like that is.
Right.
Dreams, that is goals. It would be awesome to have Starlink and just be in the middle of a national park, living life out there. So that is next step in a way.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are kind of living the intermittent retirement, a little bit of both right now, and just getting your feet wet.
I think so. And we're so grateful for our work and allowing us to do this and have this opportunity. Because, you know, it's a lot of time spent, you know, in front of the laptop, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day. And but you know, we get to, after work, we get to go explore or walk around a new town.
And
I really want to talk to you guys about that a little bit more, but it's time for us to take another break. So let's get that done, and we'll come back and let's dive into that a little bit more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream. I'm Lissa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs, regardless of age or circumstance. My guests today are John Fitzgerald and Sierra Sternfeld, and they are definitely living their passion. They're on the road while they're working, and they have been for the past 4 years, and it's just such a pleasure to hear about how you guys are making this all work. And I do want to go back to the balance of, I'm all excited about the exploring part of it, but yes, how do you weave in the 8 or 9 hour days and still get the satisfaction of being able to do the exploring that you want to do at the same time with all the temptations out there?
So if you out there are looking for a remote job, try to find one with East Coast hours like us. So the further you get away from the East Coast, the earlier you're working, the earlier you get off. So that is kind of how we're able to explore so much after work, 2, 3 p.m. We're off,
that's,
you know, out of the office, out of the house.
But yeah, I mean, it's great. And, you know, I think we're a little bit more motivated and a little bit more in high spirits when we're working, just because we know we have the ability to, we have the flexibility and ability to do this. So, you know, we get up excited to work, you know, we love what we do, and we love helping people save for retirement. And we know at the end of the day, you know, we can tune out, you know, and focus on ourselves a little bit. Like there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty about being on the road. Like, is this place going to work out? Are they going to have good internet connection? Are they going to, you know, is it going to be a comfortable place? Do we have to walk or drive to do laundry, which, you know, sometimes we have to do. It's, you know, not ideal, but
we speak to advisors all over the country. So with having traveled to 47 states over the past 4 years, there's something to connect with every advisor. We know the state they live in, probably the town. So conversations are more
build rapport.
Love that. You know, fun. Yeah.
It works well.
Well, and I imagine, you know, if there's somebody you really connect with, you can make that a destination along the way.
Yep.
Exactly. And we do, you know, we love meeting people. We're working on writing a book called, you know, How to Travel and Live Your Life to the Fullest. And one of the sections in our book is, you know, sit at the bar, just because you never know. We love talking to people, and some of these relationships, we know we'll be back in all these different states and cities. And we look forward to seeing the people that we've connected with on the road. And we have some of our best friends down in Austin, Texas, a group of them. And, you know, we go down there annually and get to stay with them. They welcome us in their homes. You know, we want to have that just about everywhere all across the country. So we try and make ourselves open for conversations and friendships as much as possible.
Oh, I would imagine. I think just because of the fact that your story is so compelling, it's very head turning, I'm sure, for people. If you're sitting at the bar or wherever, you're in a park and somebody knows what you're doing, I think there's just got to be a lot of envy, because it's such a new concept. And, sure. You know, for two people to be actually living it, not only just for a couple months, but to have been doing this for years, you know, it's super interesting. And to me, it's because I do have such a strong sense for, you know, your work life is one thing and your outside of your work life, it can be another, and to have a really good balancer so you're able to enjoy both. It seems like such a good remedy to that. And I think a lot of people are striving for that. And whether it's the people you talk to or somebody they know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of great people on the journey. And, you know, a question we'll get a lot less is, where are you guys coming in from? Or where you guys live at? And, recently.
We have to decide like which route we're going.
we're not sure.
Or, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we going to say, you know, or are we going to get into the whole shebang and then?
Do we want a 30-minute conversation or a short tweet?
Right.
Well,
right,
you could just talk, John, and they would just assume you're from Boston, so you can just leave it.
Exactly. They get most of the time, and they guess right. So.
Yes, exactly. Well, I love that. And I would imagine you have probably just gotten enough information to write your book. And where did that idea come from? Just all of a sudden it popped in your head, or was that kind of something you guys thought about early on?
So Sierra had started dabbling with the idea and probably maybe last year or two. And there's always people, more people at work who say like, man, you guys got to write a book, or if you guys were writing a book, like I'd read it. And, you know, we were like, how could we find the time for that? And, you know, you just got to make time, and whether it's, you know, like it's
10, 15 minutes a day.
Yeah. 10, 15 minutes a day, graduate to 30 minutes a day. And just like kind of committing to it, like finding that time, you know, there's not enough time in a day, but there really is if you use your time wisely and you're passionate about something. So, you know, days can go by quick, but if you're doing something you love and you're being productive and you're satisfied and comfortable with how you feel and how your partner's feeling, I think it's attributed to a lot of what we can do. And, you know, we're looking forward to expanding on that and, you know, maybe being self-sufficient one day, because that's the ultimate goal. you know, we'd love to take this international if we could, you know, not being tied to a major company.
Sure.
We're making, you know, small business, entrepreneurial stuff, you know, selling products, selling guides, you know, stuff like that, telling our story. It's the main takeaway we want people to get. We just want to inspire people to do more. We want to inspire people to travel. If you have an in-person job, you know, take weekend trips, you know, jump on those weekend trips. You don't have to be remote to have a life full of experience and adventure. You know, you can really you can work with your situation. You just have to take that step and put in the time to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I mentioned to you guys that I've been a career coach and life coach for the last 15 years. And what I'm learning now is that people, once they start getting towards the retirement age, and it's finally possible, that thing that's always been on the horizon that would allow you to have the freedom to go play and do the things that you've always dreamed of. Well, so frequently people go from working and having their work routine to their retirement routine, which is, you know, they get up, they, you know, they have their morning coffee, they read the newspaper, they go to the grocery store, they go to doctor's appointments, they come home, they make lunch, and it becomes the routine of work at home, and they're retired, and then they get in that loop. So I think that's part of the beauty of what you guys are doing as well, is you're not waiting, you're not putting it off like it's some destination way down the road. You're actually experiencing it now, so that by the time you do retire, you're going to have it so down, and you're going to have had so many experiences under your belt that most people are going to miss because they're tied to their desk at their job.
Yes. And a lot of the people that we're meeting on the road in national parks or ski mountains are elderly people living their lives. Mm-hmm. And we're like, this is where we feel most connected. Like, I'm from Florida, so every old person is retired. Like, it is a retiree community.
Yeah.
But in Schweitzer, there's people, they look 90 years old, and they are flying down a mountain, giving us tips and tricks to hit the craziest, scariest places. And we're like, this is where we feel the most alive, like with people like you, like-minded.
Yeah, I might not be able to climb up or fly down a mountain in 30, 40 years. So, you know, we're now.
You will.
Well, yeah. That's always an awareness to have, though. I mean, you know, we can all assume that we're going to, well, I think we always have that someday mentality of like, yeah, well, someday I'll do that. But, you know, the reality of it is you're better capable of doing some things the younger you are than you're going to be as you get a little bit older. And, you know, that's not a bad doomsday kind of thing. It's just kind of reality. And so why not go out there and squeeze as much in as you can?
We totally agree. And, you know, we're so happy for the friends and family in our lives that are, you know, around our age, late 20s, early 30s, who are, you know, they're buying homes, they're starting families.
Yep.
And that's terrific. Couldn't be happier for them. We're just doing something a little different that works for us. And
absolutely.
And that time will come for us.
Yep.
But, you know, everybody's different. It just depends, you know, there's people out there who want more. And I feel like we're kind of in that category who we've decided we want more out of this life. You know, we don't want to just grow up and live where we were born. And, you know, Sierra and I would have never met if that was the case. She packed up her bags and moved to Boston to start a career in a city she was unfamiliar with. And, you know, we're grateful she did that, because that allowed us to meet and, you know, start a relationship and then start this journey. So we're each his own. What we say is, you know, we spend it while we got it, while we may not be saving a ton of money for these big purchases. You know, we put away to the 401k, and, you know, we put money aside for investing. And we're at a different stage in life.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely. Well, you guys, I can't thank you enough for being here and sharing your inspiration. Like I always say, you never know the ripple effects that you might have on people. So thank you for being the voice for others to hear. That's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening in. Be sure to join me next month. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.